crab cakes and football. I guess that's what Auburn does now.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Auburn continues somewhat of a – it's not even somewhat. It is a completely brand-new streak in the state of Maryland as they had a commit yesterday. We're going to break down that. There's some fun dynamics there, and Auburn's got a little bit of a secret weapon that they added last year that may help add to that Maryland total on the roster. Yet as we go down the rest of this recruiting class. So we'll talk about that, where Auburn stands recruiting, and dadgummit, man, we got hosed on the TV times. We're going to talk about that as well. But before we do that, quick shout out to Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. You can book directly into his calendar. Only Barn listeners can do this. You go to Calendly.com, Calendly.com/ Ford Stokes, you can book an appointment straight with him. I've already had a handful of folks already do that. Make sure if you want to get started on your retirement, you have to do it before you retire. So make sure you give Ford Stokes a shout. It's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. If you've seen the movie Wedding Crashers, the opening line makes a lot of sense. Actually, Andrew Warsaw threw that out yesterday after the Ryan Jackson commitment. As well, the crab cakes and football, that's what Maryland does, as Auburn adds another player from the state of Maryland to their recruiting class. Still got to get him here. In four-star edge, Ryan Jackson, and I don't think Auburn's done in the state of Maryland, obviously, for the rest of this recruiting class. And it's really crazy how all this has unfolded, because before – this last crop of kids that joined the roster, you've got currently six guys on the roster from the state of Maryland. So you got Jeremiah Coger, Darian Smith, Blake Woodby, Deshaun Womack, and Bryce Diaz, and Wayne Henry. So you got six guys on the roster from the state of Maryland, all of them, by the way, from St. Francis Academy. I think Ben Tate's the last one. You've had some transfers from the University of Maryland. I don't know that you count those, because I don't know that all those guys are from Maryland. I think they just played there. But I think you got to go back to Ben Tate. And really, it's hard to pinpoint anyone else that's from the state of Maryland that played at Auburn. That's just not a typical recruiting ground. You know, obviously, you got DJ Durkin with the connections when he was at Maryland. And he really brought in a lot of these guys. He was the main, because most all these guys are defensive, he was the main reason for a lot of these guys coming to Auburn. He played a huge role in all of their recruitments. And it's awesome to open up this pipeline, because Maryland puts out some studs, man. You got Stephon and Trayvon Diggs right now in the NFL that are from Maryland. Sean Merriman, who's one of the NFL greats, is from Maryland. It's just another – it's a small area, but it's very – per capita population puts out a lot of good football players. Auburn's obviously got their traditional recruiting grounds. If you can find an in somewhere else, why not? Why not? And last year – around January, Auburn added another, I guess, potential secret weapon to their recruiting operation that is playing dividends in Maryland as well. And that's Wayne Dorsey, who actually played at Ole Miss in his football career, but he's from Baltimore, he's from Maryland, and he coached at St. Francis Academy. That's where he actually first started his coaching career. He's an outside linebacker and, you know, defensive line linebacker, one of those assistant coaches. But he joined DJ Durkin's staff not this January, this past January. And he's the assistant outside linebackers coach. And you just added an edge slash outside linebacker. And you're probably going to add another one in the near future in James Pace. So, again, continuing to do things that are helping this pipeline, this random pipeline to Maryland. So, if you look at it, Auburn's got six guys on the roster. You could potentially add four more guys from Maryland to the roster to where, you know, next year, I guess Deshaun Womack would be out of eligibility. Let me see really quick. He is a senior. Yeah, he's done. So that then you're dropping down to five. You add four more, you're going to have nine guys potentially on the roster from Maryland if you take all four that we're about to talk about. It's just so random. It needs to be addressed. You got the DJ Durkin connection. Now you got the Wayne Dorsey connection. You just rattled off a four-star edge from Maryland. You potentially could land the number three player from Maryland, which is James Pace. You lead for Kinyere Crum. And then you got a guy like James Branch that played wide receiver his whole career. He's moving to safety. And he's a freakish athlete that you could potentially add as another safety to go along with, you know, Kinyere Crum and then Chance Gilbert that you just added. So I love stuff like this. I love storylines. It's like, why not? If you have the connections and you can go find players at places that traditionally can put out some top-end talent, why not? So you got James Pace, who's on pace to commit, I think, on June 19th, which is next week. Kinyere Crum, it feels like he could announce at any point in time. James Branch is another one that I think it's just about, let's see what's on the board. And if we want him, he'd probably commit on spot. He's another St. Francis Academy guy. Yeah, man, this is pretty cool. Pretty cool. So the Maryland flavor, what's the seasoning? The Old Bay seasoning is definitely coming to Auburn. So we'll see how the rest of this thing plays out. We're going to talk about the recruiting class and how it sits and how it'll play as a whole. But the Maryland flavor is something fun to kind of address and dive into a little bit deeper. We'll talk about where we stand in just a second, but before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika at the corner where two parkways collide, Pepperell Parkway and Veterans Parkway. You can take advantage of their Beat the Heat special. Go get your AC checked out. Why not? It's free. Free AC performance evaluation, free system pressure test, free vent temperature analysis, and then if they find anything wrong, and it totals over $300, you get $50 off. And while they're doing that, if you drop it off between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m., go ahead and take advantage of that $50 oil change. Nobody gets that except for people that listen to the show. Why not take advantage? I've done it. It's great. You can enjoy the lounge. And then, hey, if you're feeling crazy, you can go try out the bidet. It's fantastic. It's Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika. And then buyauburn.com. Do business with Auburn people everywhere. If you have an Auburn business, you can list it in our directory for less than $1 a day. But if you're just shopping, you're looking for a service, why not start with Auburn people at buyauburn.com? Show us some love. We'll be back right after this. All right, let's talk about where Auburn stands. Currently, Auburn sits at number 11. In the Rivals industry average ranking, whatever they call that thing, it's way too long. Just need a one word. Just come up with one word for it. So that's where they calculate the rankings across all the sites. They're 11th, and then on 247's version of that, which they just called the composite, easy to remember. Auburn's all the way up to 8th, so you're already in that top 10 range in striking distance. On both sites, you're already in it on one and you're in striking distance on the other. with 17 commits. You know, like we said, initially this was going to be maybe a smaller class until I think they figured out, man, we have a lot better chance with some very high caliber players than maybe we initially anticipated. So let's see if we can't go reshape this roster with guys that we feel like are already bought in as freshmen. They're going to come in, bought into our culture, and just kind of rebuild it as fast as we can with our guys. So right off the bat, we in the previous segment, we were talking about, you know, the Maryland connection. And you feel really good about two more of those. So you got 17 commits. You feel really good that Auburn's going to add at least two more of those. And James Pace, that's one. So that takes you to 18. And Kenyere Crum, that takes you to 19. So let's go down position by position and just kind of look and total this thing up at where this class could possibly be. So on the defensive line, obviously, your big visit this weekend is Carlos May. So that's one that Auburn's going to go all out for to get. I still feel like that's going to be an Auburn win at the end of the day. I don't care what he said on his Georgia visit. I mentioned this before, but it's one of those things is when a kid is like primarily labeled as this kid's going to this school. Well, in the age of NIL, that really hurts that kid's leverage. If everybody else thinks you're only going in one direction, you know, it kind of limits your earning potential right off the bat. So you play the game a little bit. You go visit, you say what you got to say, and you do what you got to do. But at the end of the day, I think Auburn's going to get that one done. So that takes you to, is that 20? Yeah, so we started at 17. You add the two Maryland kids. This takes you to 20. Probably going to add at least one more. You got another big visitor this weekend coming in, Nate Komba. And then you had one that visited a couple of weeks ago, Sam Lejeune, that you had a lot of good things to say. So we'll see what happens with those. Probably going to add, let's assume Auburn adds two more defensive linemen. Okay, so Carlos May would take you to 20. Another one of those guys takes you to 21. Fast forward over to edge. We already are counting James Pace. Probably should let that one play out, but you're already kind of counting James Pace, so that one's not in there. You're still at 21. Marquise Evans, MJ Evans, he wants to, you know, potentially announce by the end of the month. Is Auburn patient? Would Auburn, you know, wait on that? Let's just say for this exercise, you know Auburn's going to want to add at least one to two more edges. Let's say they just add one. Okay, so now you're at, what, 22 guys. Linebacker, you're pretty much done. Cornerbacks, I think they maybe want to add one more. So now you're at 23. Safeties, you got one committed, and I've already kind of counted Kenyere Crum in this deal. I think they may want to add at least one more, maybe two. On top of Kenyere Crum. So that would give you three total. So let's just say they add one more. Now you're at 24 guys. You go over to the offensive side of the ball, quarterback, you're done. Running back, you're done. Wide receiver, you only have one. And I know they probably want at least two more wide receivers. So now you're at 20, what, six commits. Tight end, you're done. Offensive line, you know, you just – stole a visit from a Georgia commit that's coming in, I think, not this weekend, but next weekend, another four-star offensive tackle. Let's say you take another if an offensive lineman's on the board, now you're at 27. You got Tay Walden out there that's listed as an athlete. Now you're at 28. Now, look, traditionally you're going to lose some guys, but right there, if you don't – those are not even like big time reaches. If you land all those guys listed, you'd be around 28 total commits. Now, again, attrition's going to happen, and you may have guys that when you bring in some higher rated dudes over them, they may want to go look elsewhere. So you feel like the potential for at least a 25 person class is not that far out of reach. So this thing could be fun. And then as a lot of those guys that I mentioned are higher rated guys, Carlos May, James Pace. James Pace is a top 150 player. You know, if you were to decide to push for Deshaun Hall at wide receiver, that's another big time player. If you get, you know, a guy like Sincere Gaylord, a four-star corner, that is a higher rated guy. Like, there's potential for this thing to be well inside the top 10, even after everybody else finishes their classes off. So Auburn could go on a fun little run here, and you've done a ton of work, but there's still some work to be done. And if they smell some blood in the water, this staff has shown that they can get them in and close them right away, which I dig. So we'll see how this thing plays off. It really does feel like James Branch or Kinnear Crum could pop at any point in time. Like, wouldn't shock me if, you know, one or, heck, both of them at this rate could go, who knows, today. Not a prediction, just saying that's how things have been going. So we'll see how this thing plays out, but could be a special class. All right, let's switch gears and talk about something not so fun, and that is the TV schedule that was just released yesterday. And there's a stretch that's just absolutely brutal, man. There's a stretch there in October and early November that is just brutal. We'll get to that in just a second. Obviously, we knew the first three games. They were released a while ago. You got Baylor at 2:30. Southern Miss, your home opener, is going to be a night game. Florida, game three, your SEC opener is going to be a night game. That's a fantastic start. That's a fantastic start to the year. Away games, to me, the time, I almost think the earlier is an advantage. The earlier you play is an advantage. You probably are going to end up playing that Tennessee game sometime in the evening. It's at one of those flex times, which means it could be in the afternoon, 2:30 to 3:30, or it could be in the evening. I don't know why, but it feels like when we get those flex times, we always end up playing in the evening. I skip Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, afternoon, 2:30, 3:30. Georgia, 2:30, 3:30. That's nothing new. We typically play those guys about that time. And then you hit this stretch. And you can see it right there on the screen if you're watching. To me, the biggest upset of all is LSU at home at 11 a.m. That is brutal. That is huge advantage for I feel like that's a huge advantage for LSU. I don't know why. But just the crowd getting into it. I mean, Tiger Walk's going to be at, what, 9 a.m.? Just a early morning, people traveling in. That atmosphere, what's it going to be like at 11? And that's one where you really want the crowd to be into it. So that's the most brutal of all. But then you got to go to Ole Miss at 11 o'clock. I do think that's possibly advantage Auburn. I just hate playing at 11. Arkansas, you play them at home at 11. And then you go to Mississippi State and play at 11. So four games in a row. Four Saturdays in a row at 11 o'clock. I know CBS used to do this where they would like to do those quote-unquote doubleheaders where they'd have a game, a CBS-covered game at 2:30, and they only did this a few times a year, and then they'd have the CBS-covered 7:30 game or something like that. And ABC likes to do those triple headers where it's like you got a game at 11, 2:30 or 3, and then you got the night game, and they're all on ABC. So I'm assuming that's more than likely what this is Auburn's going to play LSU on ABC at 11, and then turn around, they'll have an ABC game in the afternoon and an ABC game at night. So Auburn can't really do anything but blame themselves, though, over the past several years. You know, typically what they say, you get the teams that are you never wanted to play in that Jefferson Pilot game at 11 o'clock. Those were always your throwaway games, and the teams that maybe don't have the greatest records. And look, you're playing Arkansas and Mississippi State at 11, and Auburn may be the deciding factor for the Ole Miss and the LSU game because Auburn hasn't been great. So we look at Arkansas and Mississippi State's that way, and I think everybody else has been looking at Auburn that way. You got to start winning, and that's going to help, obviously, everything. You help winning, it'll help you with your TV times. It'll help you with all that stuff. So you're just going to have to bow up in that four-game stretch from October 24th to November the 14th. Then you get Samford at 2:30, and you get Alabama in the flex time, which is interesting because I feel like historically that's been a 2:30 game. But, yeah, that's it. Your home games, you only get two guaranteed night games. No, you only get two night games. Let me pull it back up really quick. Yeah. You only get two night games, and they're at the very, very beginning of the season, which is great because it'll be hot. And then the rest are going to be during the day. The rest are going to be morning games. Man, that's brutal. You do get the Vanderbilt in the afternoon, but all the rest of the home games are at 11 o'clock. It kind of throws a little bit of salt on the wound of that Baylor game being moved, even though I still think it was a necessity in today's game. But, yeah, going to have to bow up and get it done. We're going to have to get up bright and early, get the mimosas flowing, get the Bloody Marys going so we can be a raucous environment. Bright and early. I feel like that's going to just kill the barn casts. I feel like barn casts are always better at night, but we'll make it work. Guys, let me know what you think about the Maryland connection. Where do you think this class finishes? And then sound off, man. Sound off on that TV schedule. Appreciate you guys listening. Hey, real quick, Barncast tonight. Barncast tonight, 7:30. It's a USF watch party. South Florida watch party. We've clipped up. We're going to watch games, okay, but we're only going to watch the offense. So you don't have to lock in for 3 hours. Probably going to be about an hour by the time we watch the whole thing and we rewind and pause and talk about it and things like that. So bring yourself and let's have some fun tonight. We're going to do this for the rest of the summer. We're going to pick a game. We're going to watch it tonight. It's obviously the opener from last year, South Florida versus Boise State, which was a really fun offensive game. Already kind of took some sneak peeks, but it's going to be a blast. We're going to do a giveaway. Make sure you're there tonight, live at 7:30, South Florida watch party, Barncast. Join us. Appreciate y'all listening. We'll be back again. See y'all this evening. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.